WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
New Jersey isn't very far from New York City, but it can be a vast distance in terms of lifestyle. It was for Daniel Drennan, who grew up in what he describes as a Levitt-created exurbia, a decidedly middle-class prefab insta-town in the middle of New Jersey. After college and 3 years of study in France, he moved to New York, where the art, theater, concerts, and eccentrics were. His new humorous book is called New York Diaries, Two True Tales of Urban Trauma. Drennan has contributed to the public radio program This American Life and has a following for his satirical Beverly Hills 90210 website. Here's a reading from his New York Diaries.
I was doing my freelance work, eyes behavingly glued to my computer screen, and I hear this loud booming noise like bombs falling. And despite my promise to myself and to the boyfriend that I will not waste my time getting upset at events happening outside my window and outside my control, the temptation proves too great, and I pull back the curtain and notice that a resident in the halfway house / SRO across the street is lobbing things out of his window. Bookshelves, a bike, cast iron skillets, huge objects that I can't imagine fitting through his window in the first place, are now tumbling down 11th Plague style onto the cars and stoop below. Unlike everyone who appears in those live-the-death television shows that appallingly recreate emergency experiences, starring the selfsame people who already suffered through them once, and who now relive for television the one time they called 911 in their lives, I somehow manage to call 911 at least once every other month. And also unlike those scary television shows featuring concerned, caring, heroic 911 telephone operators, I always manage to get New York 911 operators who could not possibly be more blasé asking, "Where's the emergency?" as I give the coordinates of the crime scene, and then, "What's the emergency?" implying that it better be a good one. "Yeah, there's this guy, like, throwing things out his window," I say, trying to portray the seriousness of what is going on with my voice, but failing miserably. The operator pauses and then replies as if disappointed, or rolling her eyes even, "That's the emergency?" as if I am wasting her time. "No, like, really big stuff is coming out of his window. Chairs and bikes and iron skillets and bookcases are coming out of his window," I say, leaning on my window ledge and not getting a thing done as I proudly observe the closed-down street scene of my own creation for the next 3 hours.
So the police finally came?
Yes, they did. And turned it into a block party of sorts.
Yeah, describe the scene that happened after they did come.
The street was closed down, and of course, the minute you close down a New York City street, the street fills up with people. You know, the police are there to keep it closed and keep people away, but there was a bit of damage done by the things falling outside of this guy's window.
Now, is this what you imagined or what you hoped for when you moved to Manhattan from New Jersey?
I think I had an idea of what New York had to offer. I grew up listening to stories of my father, who was born and raised in Manhattan. And I kind of grew up with this notion of New York City of being this place where anything could and sometimes does happen, which left me, when this kind of thing eventually did happen, not surprised, but kind of taken aback at the same time.
What were some of the differences between New York and suburban New Jersey when you were growing up?
Well, growing up, my friends and I would always look at New York as being this place where you could go and be yourself, dress like you want. All of our notions of art and theater and thrift store shopping and all of those kind of things were all in New York City, to my father's great chagrin, I think, that he took the family out to New Jersey for our own well-being, perhaps. And we ended up my friends and I wanted to head right back into the city for fun and all of that stuff.
So you could dress like you wanted in New York. And what was that? What would you wear when you'd go to the city?
Oh, all of those phases that you go through as a teenager, including dyed hair, pierced ears, what else? The black clothes, the skinny ties, all of those things during the 70s and 80s that defined a certain sense of rebellion as much as you could rebel in a suburban environment.
And now that you actually live in New York, do you look down on the teenagers who come through the bridges and tunnels in their defiant clothing?
Not really, although I have to say it does give me pause at times to see the kids dressed up as punks and all of that, which I remember having gone through 20-some years ago, and it seemed like an endless cycle of rebellion that we never seemed to get past.
You know, you write in your book, The New York Diaries, that you're so at home in New York because you have so many neuroses, it's the only place on earth where you feel you actually fit in. You have a very funny description of when you took your dog to the vet, and the vet
Yes.
basically said, what did the vet tell you?
The vet, my dog had been sick for a while, not being able to eat, and walking around with his, or sitting with his back arched up in the air. And the vet's question to me, instead of diagnosing the dog, was whether I was under a lot of stress or not. And I didn't quite know how to respond to her because I didn't know where she was going with the question. But she cleared it up for me when she told me that she thought my dog was picking up on my stress and was manifesting an ulcer or pre-ulcerous condition, which we had to treat with Tagamet and other anti-acids and things of that nature, which to me, I felt like, well, you know, maybe we should just give the pills directly to me and, you know, solve the problem at the source instead of the symptoms at the dog level. But I was quite taken aback by that.
Do you ever ask yourself if the rats and the mice and the roaches and the crack dealers and the muggers are worth it living in New York?
I ask myself that all the time, and I've often left the city in hopes of finding something in my mind that would be better. For a while, I thought I was going to end up in San Francisco working, and I can remember going out there and thinking, this is it. This is where I'm going to be, and sending postcards to everyone, telling them to just send my stuff over because I had found where I wanted to stay. But something always calls me back and brings me back to the city. It's perhaps a sense of just being able to be yourself and not having to worry about that and the facades that we often put up to hide our true selves seem to be, for better and worse, missing in New York City.
Well, on the other hand, it's the place where people cover up who they are with fashion and,
That's true.
And attitude.
That's true.
And all of this.
Right.
I mean, and people wear more body armor in New York than probably any place else in the world.
This
character
is true.
Armor is what I mean. Character
right,
armor.
Right.
So you need the body armor, too. So what brought you back
true.
From San Francisco?
I think the sheer niceness of people in San Francisco put me off on some level. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It was more, I love the honesty of New Yorkers, and there's something refreshing about people who will tell you their opinion whether you ask for it or not, I think.
Daniel Drennan is the author of New York Diaries.